Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the first Tuesday of the month, which it is, Mr. Mitch, between 2 and 3, we have The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spean. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. It's been a while since we've talked. Like how long? Months or minutes? Oh, probably minutes, I think. But they They start with the same letter, M, months or minutes.
And Mitch.
Yeah, see? And, and my name is Maeve. No, Dave, I mean. That doesn't even make sense. So, anyway, as we're awaiting a special guest today, right, Dr. John Douglas, the head of the Honors Department for PVCC.
Correct.
And that stands for?
Paradise Valley Community College.
You get the grade. That's it. This is going to be a game show today. So we're awaiting him. But you do have a lovely special guest in studio.
Absolutely.
You want to do the honors or should I?
You can start. I'll fill in.
Okay. We have a lovely young lady who is in the honors program, right?
Going into.
And it's none other than Sarah Spean as SS. The lovely daughter of Mitch Spean. This is very exciting.
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
Excellent. Welcome. And so this is great. So welcome to the show. Yeah. Have you ever been on the radio before?
I've never been on the radio, but I've always sort of wanted to. I thought it would be a cool experience.
And you're doing great. What's your shirt look? What is that?
It's an anime character named Death the Kid.
Wow. Looks like a, what is that, a gun?
Dual pistols.
Oh, dual pistols. I don't even know what that is. I know dueling banjos. Ever hear of that? Dueling banjos?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're
where
watching Hee Haw way too often.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You remember that? And don't watch this at home. I think Deliverance had dueling banjos too, right, Tom? Okay, yeah, he said so. Anyway, you're going to go into the honors program.
Yep.
Well, and, to start out with, just so that people understand, right now she's in a dual enrollment program. That means that she's not only going to Paradise Valley High School, but also Paradise Valley Community College at the same time, taking classes at both and getting credit for the college classes, both for college and for high school.
That's fantastic. How did you qualify for that, Sarah?
It was mostly just my grades, actually. I was asked to go into this meeting with my guidance counselor, and there were a whole bunch of people there. We had to take a test, write a little essay, and my GPA was adequate, so I made it in.
What's your GPA?
3.5 about.
That sounds good to me, 3.5. That's, wow, I don't remember those days for me, but you probably,
look,
Mitch, had a high GPA, I bet.
There was one time in college that I was actually on the dean's list, just one semester.
Wow.
Other than that, I was really in the B range, just like Sarah.
I was on the John Dean's list. Does that qualify? I don't think so. Anyway, so GPA 3.5. So
only if you're at the White House.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I want to get there. So this is very exciting. So a dual enrollment program. So you're going to high school.
As a senior.
As a senior, but also taking college courses at PVCC.
Yeah, by the time I graduate high school, I'm going to be completely finished with all my pre-required classes.
For college.
Wow, that is incredible. So when did you start PVCC?
My beginning of my junior year.
So you get all your general, what's it called, general ed?
Your general ed classes. So
essentially called your AJEC.
Oh, is that what it is?
AGEC, I believe.
So what is it again?
AGEC.
AGEC. So AGEC. AJEC. The only thing I remember about this is a guy named Kojak. Is that similar? AJEC, Kojak.
They both end with K, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, oh, I put a C. I wouldn't even qualify going to PVCC. So that's really good. That's special. How do you feel about yourself that you're one of the special people that can actually have this dual enrollment program?
It's an honor. I'm enjoying every second of it. well, most every second.
What are the seconds you don't enjoy? No, I'm kidding. You don't have to answer that.
Boring teachers.
Okay.
Oh, you know. I'm not going to name anyone.
No, remain nameless, yes.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, Einstein got bored in school. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, teachers have to keep up with the great kids. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, right?
Absolutely. And part of the reason that Sarah's with us and the fact that, like we said before, we're waiting for Dr. John Douglas from the school is because when you're going into business, just to kind of let the listeners understand, when you're going into business, you've got to have a good foundation. That foundation starts with education.
Absolutely. It's huge, right?
Absolutely. And it's got to be a well-rounded education. And the place to start is at school, the schools. So that when you're talking about the bottom line, you've got to start with that foundation. And that's where the education comes in. And that's why I felt it was important to tell people what some of the programs are that are out there.
That is excellent. And, you know, in today's economy especially, it's important all the time, but people are losing their jobs or getting downsized because they don't have the skills. And I think skill sets and education and knowledge and all those type of things are absolutely critical, even more critical maybe now, because of the huge competition for limited types of jobs, at least maybe the next couple of years. And Sarah, you're off to a great start then.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredible. So has anyone ever said, "Who's your daddy?"
No, until now. That's never been said to me.
Okay, and it sounds like Mr. Mitch is who's your daddy. Oh, so we got...
He's my father.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And as we speak, Dr. Douglas has just shown up, so we'll do a little bit of arranging in the...
Oh, that's right. We have to do a little rearranging, but what we'll do is musical chairs. Sarah will give Dr. Douglas your headset as Sarah moves over to mic 3 or 4. We're doing a play-by-play right now. This is exciting. I've never done a play-by-play before, but this is the first on radio. Not the first. Howard Cosell used to do good play-by-plays, remember?
There are a few others. Chick Hearn.
Yeah.
But again, we're sticking with the L.A. connection here.
Yeah, well, don't forget Bob Miller, who the great announcer for the L.A. Kings. Al Michaels, remember? All those people were really good. And they seem to be doing some house cleaning here. Tom, what do you think of this? Why don't you join us with this play-by-play?
This is and awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. We need some applause. Anyway, it's real exciting because we – see, you got Mr. John – Dr. John Douglas in the house, and well, hi, Dr. John. What do we call you, Dr. Douglas, Dr. John, or
John's fine.
All right, John.
And I just want to apologize. I ended up going to Mitch's office, and you have a very nice secretary who helped me get the directions to this location, which on a bike ended up being
a little bit further than you anticipated.
Yeah, so but I made it.
Wow,
so,
yes,
sorry
you
about
did.
That.
No, that's okay. You made it pretty quick, too. And you look like you're not even worn out. It looks like you just...
Oh, that's good. I feel it.
A little sweaty. How far did you ride?
From the 101 and the 51. So that's probably...
About 15 miles.
Yeah.
Wow, 101 and 51?
A long ride.
How long did that take?
That's the same as where I live. So
yeah, there you go, yeah.
So how long did that take you?
Probably an hour and a half, I think.
Man, that's not
bad. Plus the
bad.
Stop at Mitch's very nice office.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate that.
We should have done a remote today at your office.
Exactly.
Well, that was my fault. He was very clear in the email, and at the last second, I just went to the address that he has at the bottom of his email address and not the one. He was very explicit.
Yes.
Hey, everyone makes mistakes, right?
That's right. Yes. Live and learn. But everyone's very flexible, so thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely.
No problem.
Well,
just to bring you up to date, we were kind of saying how education is the foundation for everyone in business and trying to develop a good foundation starts with education.
And in jobs in general.
Yeah, we were saying skill sets really important, and skill sets partly knowledge and experience and all those things, because some of the people, unfortunately, that are being getting unemployed now or are unemployed, you know, partly due to downsizing, but also I think the competition. I mean, whoever has great skill sets and great attitude seem to, I think, will be fine during, you know, the next 3, 4, 5 years. And I think that's real important. But we should introduce Dr. John here. And you're the head of the Honors Department for PVCC.
That is correct, yeah. That is brand new, brand new.
It's brand new.
Yeah, well, I'm the brand new director.
Oh, okay.
The program has been around for a while, but I recently came into it and trying to stay afloat.
Well, I saw your website, and it looks like you do a lot of hiking.
We do a lot of hiking. The family and I, my wife and I did more before we had children. But now that the girls are older, Sage is almost turning 6 and Emmy is 4. So we've been getting to do some trips.
Well, that's so cool. Well, let's
pretty names too.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Sage and Emmy?
Yeah. Sage and Emmy.
Those are very cool names.
Boss Emmy. 1, Boss 2.
Yeah. Well, what's your wife? Boss 3?
Yeah, Boss Infinity.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I'm picking too.
I say Infinity times Googleplex, probably.
Yes, no doubt. And anyway, let's give a little background about you. So you're your PhD, and is that in geography or?
Yeah, geography. PhD in geography.
So what was your when did you first discover a passion for geography?
When I was an undergraduate at Northern Arizona University. I was originally in geology, and then I just sort of was getting burnt out in some of the detailed classes like mineralogy. I was much more interested in bigger scale processes, so I floundered. I went through a smorgasbord of majors. I was history for a while, education for a while, and then eventually I got interested in snow science and geography and actually did a kind of an undergraduate thesis on an avalanche path on the San Francisco peaks.
Being from Arizona and talking about snow just doesn't seem to...
yeah, but there isn't that many places.
At NAU, like, it snows, so...
That's right. And stuff like that.
So right. Snow science, tell us a little bit about that. That sounds pretty interesting, snow science.
Yeah, rather intriguing.
Yeah, and it is. Our water that we use here in Phoenix, some of it comes from the Colorado via the CIP Canal, but a lot of it comes from the Salton Verde Rivers, which that water comes from snowpack that melts off the Mogollon Rim. And so there's all sorts of studies that are done in terms of how thick that snowpack is, how much of it evaporates before it even melts. But that actually isn't what I got into. I actually, while I was doing that project, I took a class on how the Grand Canyon formed, and I just became really passionate about that particular subject, and we went on all these field trips to explore how it could have formed. And then at the end of the class, the instructor looked at me and or just told the class, he goes, okay, well, it's been fun. And I was like, I raised my hand, I was like, well, that's great, but how did it actually form? Like, you got to tell us the answer. I mean, we spent all this time talking about it. And he's like, well, we don't really know that. This is just all we have.
Wow.
Yeah, and that just ignited a fire in me. And so I ended up asking him if I could do my master's studying the subject, and that's why I ended up studying my PhD at ASU, was on how landforms like the Grand Canyon form, and that's more or less been my passion for...
Wow. So did you, without saying anything about it, do you know how it formed without telling us yet? Because we're going to keep the listeners in suspense.
I'm pretty sure I know how it formed, yeah.
Well, then
But it happened 5 million years ago. So without a time machine.
But you're pretty sure you're closer than most people knowing maybe how.
Well, let's hope so. I spent a lot of time thinking about it.
Well, this is great. Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we will find out how the Grand Canyon was formed. I'm excited about that. And, of course, this is the Bottom Line starring Mitch Spean. We have in studio Dr. John Douglas, the head of the Honors Department for PVCC, and the lovely Sarah Spean, the daughter of Mr. Mitch, and we'll be right back.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spean every first Tuesday between 2 and 3, and we have some great guests in the studio, and we will mention the lovely Sarah Spean, who is about to go in the honors program and also has, you said, a dual enrollment program. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little while. And, of course, we have Dr. John Douglas, the head of the honors department at PVCC in studio, riding a bike all the way here for an hour and a half, and he looks well rested.
That's the prerequisite to the green round table, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's on at 3 to 4. Now, we kept the listeners in suspense because you were determined to find out how the Grand Canyon was formed, because you said no one really quite knew at NAU or maybe other places. First of all, before you tell us, what did you do? What research? How did you do the research? What source information did you use to come up with a conclusion that you'll tell us in a few minutes?
Okay, I got to think about this. There's a lot to...
Yeah, that was...
I got to focus. How did I do my research? Well, honestly, that was what... getting my master's at NAU with my instructor, he was incredibly nice and very gracious with his time, but he wasn't an expert in the field. So I had to spend a lot of time basically going on field trips on my own and kind of making stuff up as I went along. And luckily, I stumbled upon an idea that ended up having merit, but I had no background. I had no scholarly background in terms of where my research would fit with other professionals, with other people in my field. I didn't even know who the luminaries were in my field. So I was really isolated in that regard. And I ended up presenting my idea how the Grand Canyon formed at a symposium at Grand Canyon in 2000. And at first it went over really well, and then it got really, really cold in the room afterward. Because it's a very contentious subject. There was probably, I would say, almost 50 professionals there about how the Grand Canyon formed. But then from there, I ended up going to ASU to continue studying the subject. And at ASU, I developed a set of criteria, so that if you went into the field and you were trying to figure out how something like Grand Canyon formed, you could have a tool set. There are certain things on the landscape that you would look for, like an investigator. Like if you're doing a CSI investigation of a murder, there's certain things you're looking for depending on what the suspect is or what they would have done. And I was able to come up with criteria that would work for how you could decipher how something like the Grand Canyon formed. And one of the coolest things about it is I got to build this huge sandbox that was 30 feet by 8 feet in dimension. And I ran these models on how you can form things like Grand Canyon with basically just water and sand. And I filmed them, and it was just a blast because a lot of my friends were, I don't know, just getting really pale, working in computer labs, doing all this really kind of tedious computer modeling. And I was playing.
And you got a sandbox.
And I got a sandbox, yeah. So
reminds me
it
of
wasn't
the movie,
really fair.
Richard Dreyfuss, what was that? So something of the third kind? Or
yeah, that's right. Mashed potatoes, yeah.
What was that?
Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Yeah.
Wow, so what did your neighbors think? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no. Yeah. It was at a lab at ASU.
Oh, okay. So you had the sandbox. So you, what conclusions did you come up with? How did you? What did you discover?
Okay, well, this is still contentious. There's plenty of other experts in the field who some agree, some don't agree, and I'm just one tiny cog in the machine working on this problem. But with that caveat, I think it's pretty simple. All it was there was a large lake that was dammed up on the Colorado Plateau, which is where the Grand Canyon is. And this lake would have been big. It would have been Great Lake in size, like Lake Michigan in size.
Mm.
And the lake simply spilled across the lowest spot in the landscape at that time, which is where Grand Canyon is today. The water will eventually pour into what is Lake Mead today down near Las Vegas. And that drop is almost 5,000 vertical feet.
Wow.
So in your mind,
close
you can—
close to a mile.
Yeah, close to a mile.
Yeah.
So you can imagine a waterfall almost a mile tall pouring off the Grand Wash Cliffs. You know, that was coming from this lake, and that's going to give that water a tremendous amount of energy, and that's the energy that allows Grand Canyon to cut.
So how long would that take to probably millions and millions of years, right?
We're working on trying to get a better handle on that, but right now the data is it could have done it in a million years or less.
Wow. That's incredible. So
yeah, now that's the depth of the canyon. That's the, you know, like, because the depth is the— kind of like the knife cut is what the river did.
Yeah.
The width is different. That's, you know, rock falls and debris flows, and that's taken 5 million years to give us the 10-mile width.
Wow. That's phenomenal. So how many people agree with you think, and how many say, no, I don't think that's the—
try
way.
Percentages. I think you'll be better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, percentages would be better.
Percentages, I'm, you know, yeah. Well, we started at zero, so kind of a glass half full way of looking at it. We started at zero, and I'm probably going to get in trouble. Depends on who listens to this. I would say 15 to 20%.
Okay, so it's coming up. So what is?
Yeah.
So that's one of the theories. That's your theory. It sounds interesting. Sounds logical. What is another theory that's just way different though?
Okay, well, that's what's interesting about the other ideas is they're really hard to conceptualize without an actual image to look at. One of them involves a river that eats its way back up towards where Grand Canyon is today, and that would have been a slow process, and they thought it was driven by the location of Gulf of California kind of opening up over time. And a river works its way headward and eventually captures an old Colorado River that would have been draining into this lake and captures it. And there's some problems with that idea.
I like your theory better.
I'm voting for John. My question is, how did you get from here into education again? Because I saw you said that at one point you were— one of your majors was education. How did you get back into that? Because it's not really— there's just such a divergence between the two.
Yeah.
Unless you're in that specific, you know, teaching that specific thing.
Right. I always wanted to be a teacher. That was always where my passion was at, and I felt it was one of my strengths. But while doing, you know, my PhD, that dissertation, it really pushed me. You can't get a PhD without being at that, you know, without being a scholar, without producing original research, and it was hard. It stressed me out in a lot of ways. I ended up having medical issues as a result of the stress. Like, it was tough. And then when it was done, I definitely was excited about the idea of going to be a teacher and not necessarily having to worry about dedicating myself to, I still do research, but to that level of research.
I would be really kind of, knowing what you've gone through, you've got to be able to impart some of that onto the students so that they don't get into that same kind of medical issues.
Yeah. I try and warn them. I mean, specifically what happened with me is the stress was causing my stomach to cramp up. And I thought I had an ulcer. So I was convinced I had an ulcer, and I started eating foods that would, you know, that you're not supposed to eat if you have an ulcer. And it never got better. And so finally I went to a doctor, and they, you know, put a camera down my throat to take a look inside my stomach.
Ew.
Yeah, which is not the funnest thing in the world. And when I talked to the doctor afterwards, he said, there's nothing wrong with your stomach. And that was, like, mind-blowing because I was in, like, a lot of pain. And for him to tell me there's absolutely nothing wrong, it clicked that it was in my mind that I was mentally causing these things to happen in my body because of the stress. And unless I experienced that, it's hard to believe that you could do that with your mind.
But that's a good lesson.
But it's not a surprise to me.
Yeah.
Because I've got something called dyshidratic eczema, which means that my hands tend to be sweaty.
Okay.
And that combined with stress.
Yeah, I could see
causes
that.
Blisters on your hands. You know, and you know what? I called it my finals rash. I would get blisters on my fingers every time finals came up. So I called it my finals rash, not realizing that that's really what it was until later on. But that's, you know, so I totally understand where stress can come out in physical ways as well.
I have one comment on that, though. I hope you never did any serious dating during finals. Okay, that's my only comment. That was a good one. Okay, so that's interesting. But, you know, you do bring up a topic that, you know, I don't know if we'll pursue on this show. But you know, stress really can create physical symptoms. And some people say most illness, I'm not saying it, but you hear sometimes people talk about it's all psychosomatic. I mean, I don't know if you have an opinion about that, but we're not a medical show, but it is interesting.
Yeah, I don't I just know from my own personal experience.
Yeah.
It's definitely something to consider if I go in to see a doctor and they're like, "We can't find anything wrong with you."
Yeah.
And now I'm like, "Ugh, that means I'm doing it again and I'm doing it in a different way." And
did it ever come back? Did you have stress or was that such a relief that
No, it came back and I had another issue. That I eventually worked through because I graduated.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. But you have a lot. I mean, you're a PhD. I mean, so you went to NAU and ASU. That's sort of cool. Two great schools.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. Flagstaff was great. I definitely recommend it for an undergraduate experience because when I was at ASU, ASU is a huge school, and the professors are under a lot of pressure to publish. And they have PhD students that they're responsible for. So if you're a professor responsible for a PhD student, you need to make sure that they're producing research and are on top of their projects, because if your PhD students fall behind, your research falls behind.
Mm.
And so I just found that professors focus a lot of their attention on PhD students, less on master students, and then undergraduates are kind of at the bottom of the chain. And that I don't want to say that for all ASU. I noticed that. My personal PhD advisor, Ron Dorn, was amazing. I owe him an incredible amount. He gave so much time and energy to me. But you can see that happening in that institution. But at NAU, there isn't that many PhD programs, and I found that a lot of the professors do spend a lot of time on undergraduates.
Oh, that's sort of cool. And
that's,
of course,
very good to know.
Why are you going to go to NAU, Sarah?
I have no idea what college I'm going to after. I actually do go to PVCC because I've got a 2-year full scholarship there.
Oh, you do?
Congratulations.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Did you bring an apple? We have a professor in the studio.
I've actually brought an apple to one of my teachers before, and he loved it.
And I've brought a Big Mac to one of my instructors, and he gave me 2 bottles of wine. Yeah. So I love the trade-off.
And I gave 2 hockey tickets away. Okay, so Sarah, so you have a scholarship already?
Yeah, it's for the honors program, actually.
Oh, wow. How coincidental.
Do you want to tell a little bit how that works?
Yeah, so... Please. If you graduate in the top 15% of your high school, you automatically qualify for a full scholarship to any of the community colleges here in the Maricopa District.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a fantastic opportunity.
Top 15%. So that should provide motivation for students to really, you know, buckle down and really study.
Yeah, and that's the case we're trying to make. Oftentimes, if you're a top-tier student like that, you're going to have other opportunities with other universities. Our main case, though, is that if you stay at a school like Paradise Valley, the classroom sizes are small. if you're comfortable staying home with your parents, which some students will not be, but if you are, you save money in that regard.
Yeah.
The instructors that you get at Paradise Valley Community College, oftentimes they'll have a master's or a PhD degree and have spent many years in the field teaching, whereas if you go to ASU, oftentimes you'll find yourself in a classroom with 300 students and your instructor could be a PhD student who hasn't had the kind of experience that you would have,
wow,
that you would get from a instructor at a community college. So we really feel that we have a product that we're proud of and I guess love to get the word out.
Wow, Sarah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm very much enjoying it. I actually am very – I like my English 101 teacher that I had, and I showed her some of my writing. I do creative writing upon occasion, and I got it back with no edits needed.
Oh, that's excellent.
Now, that kind of reminds me, I think when we talked before, you were talking about a mentoring program where some of the students will kind of hook up with some of the professors and kind of they kind of guide them through this the maze of what's going on.
Yeah, we're actually in the process of trying to implement a new mentoring program where we're going to have second-year honor students who are basically going to have like a group of three or four new honor students that they can basically ask questions to and get feedback from. And then in charge of that cohort, we're going to have someone who goes through our mentoring program on campus. We offer a peer mentoring class where you can learn more about how to be an efficient mentor. And then they have the staff and directors at the honors program to support and facilitate the whole program. And that's to help students kind of navigate, I guess, the paperwork, the steps that are involved in completing the honors program. And one of those steps is each semester students need to do a honors project. And that honors project is going to be outside of your normal classwork with an instructor that you're taking that semester. And you ask that instructor if they're willing to do an honors project with you. You provide them with a topic that you would study. And then they will help you and mentor you through that project throughout the semester.
Well, what would be like an honors project? I mean, what does that entail?
They can be as simple as a paper, and it's a research paper where you're, you know, synthesizing information that you get off the internet, and that's a good kind of first level honors project. Let them dive into a subject that's of interest to them and gain some early success. But then as they move deeper into the honors program, we want to push for more
challenges.
Yeah, challenges, and so that they're
creativity too.
Yeah, maybe. So that it's more authentic, I guess, because they're going to be contributing something from themselves. It's not information that they're getting off the internet or someplace, but they're going to be providing some of their own experiences or information from a project that they're doing themselves.
That is exciting. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. John Douglas, the head of the Honors Program at PVCC, and we have Sarah Spean, who is about to go into the Honors Program. That's exciting. And, of course, this is The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spean, and we'll be right back.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7-steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spean every first Tuesday of the month from 2 to 3, and we have the lovely Sarah Spean, Mitch's daughter, in-house. She's going to go into an honors program, and not just any honors program. It's Dr. John Douglas, his honors program. He is the head of the honors department at PVCC, and we were talking off the air. We just want to briefly mention this, since I'm from California, Mitch is from California, and John, you said you were from California. I've been through many earthquakes, the Selmar quake, the Northridge quake, so has Mitch.
Sarah went through the Northridge quake also.
Oh, and Sarah did too. So
I was like one at the time.
Oh, so you probably didn't remember. You didn't remember it. But you were
5 weeks.
Oh, 5 weeks old.
Oh, that's even younger.
Yes, I'm going to completely remember
I remember
that completely.
Well, I remember it's 4:31 a.m. on January, was it the 17th?
Yeah. Yes.
I remember that clearly. Now, the question is, we start talking on the break that you said in the next couple million years, the San Andreas Fault's actually moving away from California into Arizona. What's up with that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a kind of a bummer.
Especially if you bought real estate here.
Yeah. There's just a meme out there thinking that California is going to fall in the ocean and Arizona is going to get this prime coastal property and everyone's...
We're not?
Yeah. You're waiting for that to happen. And the reality is that North America continues to move westward over time. And as it does, the San Andreas Fault kind of stays in place. And therefore, in this is a rough guess, but 2 to 3 million years, the San Andreas Fault, instead of being in California, will be in Arizona.
Wow. Now, but before that happens, we were talking again, there's a lot of ticking time bombs, a lot of faults out there in California, and you anticipate, like, maybe something about to give at some point.
Yeah, it would have to. There's stress building up on that fault all the time, and it's a bit of a bummer. North America, while it's moving westward, is also getting pulled apart. You can imagine it like a giant accordion pulling the continent apart. Denver and San Francisco used to be 300 miles closer together than they are today. And in the process of getting pulled apart, you ended up with something like, I think, 125 different mountain ranges that exist through California, Nevada, Utah, and then on into Colorado to account for that extension of it getting pulled apart. And in the process of it getting extended, the fault itself has this big kink in it. And because it has that big kink, it's trying to deal with the energy of moving the continental plates across this warp in the fault. And it builds up a tremendous amount of stress that then creates a bunch of other faults that a lot of them are underground. They're called blind thrust faults, and they can't even be mapped until they actually fracture and fault. So the Northridge earthquake, they didn't even know that fault line existed until the actual earthquake occurred. So it is disconcerting that the Los Angeles Basin happens to sit right where that kink exists in the San Andreas Fault, and underneath the Los Angeles Basin are unknown number of these blind thrust faults.
Wow. Now, is it a myth that with a big earthquake, California could drop into the sea?
That is a complete myth.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
So no swimming lessons for people I know. Okay.
Yeah. The energy involved in that would be, that just doesn't happen.
Astronomical?
Yeah, it would be big.
Back to your Googleplex.
But so, you could have something on the order of what happened in Japan. in terms of the tsunami that happened in Japan after they had, ooh, you know, that 9.0 earthquake. That's a different fault system. That's a subduction zone. And that generated a massive tsunami. But I think it should, and it did give us pause in terms of dealing with an earthquake of that magnitude. We have nuclear power plants that are also on the coast, you know, the San Onofre power plant. And they're there for a reason, right? We use that seawater to cool the power plant.
So what would happen if there was a tsunami? Because I've seen that. You know, I used to live in California, so driving up to San Diego, you always see these odd-shaped, looking like ET type of cones. What would happen? Would it? Are they ready for something like that, the government?
They claim to be ready. And I'm sure they have a plan in place, but at the same time, I'm sure the guys in Japan thought they had a plan in place, and then when it fails, it's just a major problem.
Oh, geez.
You just don't know what's going to happen when reality hits.
Right.
You can only do it based on whatever your best guess is, and you just don't know what the actual reality is.
Right.
Scary. I'm not moving back to California. Wait, I have clients there. I'm going to have them move here. Why not, right?
There you go.
But that's what's nice about Arizona is we don't have that many natural hazards here. Wildfires is the big one.
I think scorpions are natural.
Individually speaking, yeah, that's true.
Right. But you're right. But in about 2 to 3 million years, maybe not.
It's going to get a little bit more exciting.
Wow. So, well, that's a long time. Okay, maybe we won't be here. But, well, that's interesting. I was curious about that, and I appreciate you clearing that up because it is interesting, especially since we've been through all these quakes. Now, San Diego, though, I don't think you've ever really had so much action there, right, with earthquakes?
Not in San Diego proper. There was a 7.2 in Yucca Valley, which is just north of Palm Springs. That was the biggest one I felt as a kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't remember what year that was, early 90s.
So let's go into being, you know, what it's like to being the head of the honors department. I think, it's fairly new for you, right, just in 2012?
About 3 weeks new.
So what are some of the things that you anticipate happening? And, you know, how you what does that mean to the kids? What does it mean to you? How can people be motivated to really set their sights on getting into an honors program?
Absolutely. the honors program, well, first, I'm excited to be a part of it. You get to work with amazing students that have a lot of drive, a lot of creativity. They want to push themselves, find out what they're capable of doing. And at the same time, we want to offer them opportunities. So in the honors program, there's a big push towards helping them craft their resumes, their personal statements towards getting scholarships later in their educational career. And so we spend a lot of time with how do you, you know, write a personal statement? What are the key components of your life that you would want to discuss that would resonate strongly with people who read those applications, who read hundreds of those applications? We stress getting involved with your community. Volunteering, those provide, you know, excellent means to add authentic experiences to letters like that.
Is this also programs within the school itself as far as getting involved with the community?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're a part of the mentoring program, if you're a part of the clubs and organizations on campus, any sort of leadership activity that will set you apart from your peers. Because we're trying to really, we want to see our students succeed. And we're trying to give them as much of a toolkit as we can to help them compete in the world.
You know, that's excellent. You know, it sounds like it goes beyond just academics, but to have a well-rounded individual moving on. Is that what you're describing?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that's what, you know, most businesses in the workforce would like to have, is like to have students who can think creatively, who can interact effectively with other people, can listen and absorb other ideas, but at the same time present their own ideas effectively. And if you're just going to classes, if you drive your car to campus, you take a class, you go home, then you go to your job, oftentimes you're not exposed to those sorts of opportunities. And so the honors program really provides a cohesive experience that can really drive those points home.
Well, and I know that they've got several programs within the honors program. I know that they were talking about some field trips and some other things that they do specifically to help students get to know each other, get to know some of the staff and other professors, just so that they can, again, bond a little bit and become more well-rounded. Can you talk about some of those?
Yeah, absolutely, Mitch. And that's a good point, because oftentimes when you go to school, it's a scary experience if you don't know people, and it's kind of intimidating to interact with your instructors. So by providing trips like what Mitch was describing is an excellent opportunity. At the start of the semester, if you're a new student, we offer an experience where we go up to a camp in Prescott, and we'll spend 2 days up at that camp, and the students will get to do a high ropes course, a low ropes course. They'll do a bunch of team building activities where they're given certain goals, and they have to try and complete the goals in a certain amount of time. And it's more or less an atmosphere that really tries to breed, you know, friendship, collaboration, and a little bit of group suffering.
I'll try being married.
Yeah, there you go. But to really build those bonds. And then from that, we want to offer opportunities throughout the semester. And I'm new, but this might come as a surprise, but in the fall, I'll be taking students on a trip up to the Grand Canyon.
Nice.
And the Sunset Crater and Waupaki National Monument.
That sounds like so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be any fun. No, I'm kidding. It'll be a blast.
I've actually never been to the Grand Canyon before, and I want to soon. Eventually, I'm already 18.
It's a nice place. And the goal behind that program is to, oftentimes students don't have an opportunity to get out and explore their own states. We really want to get out and give them an opportunity where they can visit these locations and expose them to scholarly work associated with, if it's about the landforms, the geomorphology behind it. We're going to have an anthropologist with us to talk about the archaeology, the Anasazi ruins at Waupaki National Monument. And then hopefully we'll have an astronomer with us as well to talk about the stars that we see at night on the trip.
Wow, I want to go back
Sounds
to school.
Beautiful.
What do you think? Sarah, you think I can make it at PVCC?
I think they need some people to just be proctors and watch things, make sure.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's what I'll do. That sounds good. Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back. I'm going to ask another question about the mindset. Is there any programs regarding the mindset? That's sort of near and dear to my heart. Not only am I a CPA, but neuro-linguistic programming is all about the peak performance and the study of human excellence, how that might equate in or how it might in the future maybe have programs like that. We'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean, every first Tuesday between 2 and 3 here on KXXT 1010 AM. We have the lovely Sarah Spean in studio, an honors about to be in the honors program at PVCC. And we are really honored to have, wow, I'm saying honor a lot. You should have been a judge, Your Honor. Okay. We have Dr. John Douglas, head of the Honors Department at PVCC. Boy, this is good. Talking about, you know, we have a dating game. This is like a good match, the student and the teacher, because you're going in to PVCC, and how is it in terms of being fortunate to have the head of the Honors Program here, Sarah?
It's really awesome. He seems really cool, at least what I know of him right now.
All right. I've heard cool things about this young man. So anyway, I do want to clarify, when I said the dating game, I didn't mean that there's dates going on here, but we do have a dating game that matches people up. But I think this is a great match to have a student and a professor, and especially someone like Mr. Doctor, I should say, John Douglas. Now, off the air, we were talking about how the mindset really controls a lot of things. We did talk about how it can create physical ailments, but I also think it creates limitations as well as opportunities, and it's just a matter of is how you can tap into your unconscious mind and understand the limiting beliefs that one might have to keep them stuck into the same old rat race. But you know, is that something you think the colleges will start to get into a little bit more, or you think we're a little ways away from that?
Well, we should. I haven't thought. I'm new to my position, and Mitch asked me this question 2 months ago or something.
They had a program to kind of let those students who qualified for the
scholarship,
mm. and the honors program. And I asked the question, how do you help students to work beyond their self-imposed limitations? One of Dave's favorite questions, because no matter where they are, the student can always do better unless they've themselves limited themselves. And that was that. The idea was to say, you know, I don't want them to get stuck at that whatever level it is. I want them to really excel
and grow.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I completely agree. But I honestly, with being new in the program, I haven't actually struggled exactly with how to implement that. I have kind of a laundry list of things that kind of needs to take place before something. I guess I can approach that headlong. But I will say that, I mean, it kind of cuts to the chase in terms of what we're looking for. I mean, if we want to have students that who are going to achieve and compete, that's the major goal.
Well, the fact is, when you're talking about the honors program, like you said before, they're already self-motivated. So they're already at a high level. But it doesn't mean that they're at their but it still could. You still could be limiting yourself, even if you're at that high level.
Right. And I would speak from personal experience. The areas where I have been pushed the most is when I've had, I guess, the biggest failures. It's when I had to sit with my division chair in geography at NAU, taking my last class in that program, in his office. He started yelling at me about what a terrible writer I was, and that I could never graduate from the program with how bad my writing was. And
it was a
fun experience. And then he asked me, what grade did I get in English 101? You know, because I had to take those English classes. I was like, well, actually, I got an A. I did pretty well in them. And he didn't believe me, so then he went into my transcripts to verify, found out that I did, then called the English division chair to say, how could you have possibly given this guy an A with how bad his writing is?
Wow, that's amazing. He went to those lengths.
Yeah,
he definitely drove his point home. But at the same time, getting pushed that hard ended up being kind of a major gift, because I probably would not have struggled. Writing has been something that I've struggled with from that point for quite a while. My poor committee member for my master's thesis had to edit my work, and I owe him many beverages. Because it's a lot of work to edit. It's time-consuming. It's not fun. And I had a lot of work, and I needed to grow a lot. And that was kind of the major hurdle I had to get over. Instead of kind of blaming my English instructor or blaming the system, I had to take ownership of the problem. This was my problem. I needed help from people that were willing to help me. And it was a hurdle I had to overcome. It was a a limit that I was at, and the only way I was going to get across was through some really hard work.
But you had a choice, which is interesting. You could have said, given up, like a lot of people do, or it could have propelled you into more intensity and determination. And it sounded that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and I'm really grateful that that's how I responded, because the same thing happened later on when I was working on my PhD. I applied to try and get a grant to pay for my research. I got denied. It was the first time that my PhD advisor's student ever got denied by NSF for a grant, and that hurt.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had to accept that and, I don't know, dig deep. And even with that handicap, I was able to, with a lot of help, I had other people come in and help me out in other ways. But you really have to struggle with yourself. And I talked to my advisor really seriously. I was like, I think I should drop out and just become a high school teacher. And he was like, well, if you want to do that, I understand. But I see you definitely have some strengths, but it's up to you. And so it's really through failure that personally I was able to kind of push through to achieve what I wanted to to achieve.
You know, it's interesting. One of the NLP presuppositions is that there's no such thing as failure, only feedback. And it sounds like you applied that. You know, you had feedback. You didn't view it necessarily, as failure. You didn't give up. But here's feedback. And you also had some people surrounding you to give you encouragement.
Right. And that oftentimes, if you don't get that feedback that's negative, oftentimes you're not going to grow. And it's part of life. Later on in life, I'm going to get hit with a variety of things that are going to come across as negative feedback. And if I can't handle that, it's going to affect my ability to be a professional.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And look, if you listen to the NAU guy, you're a radio guy now. Look, you're a radio star. and he may not be one. So see, this is very good. This is very encouraging to people that feel like they have to give up. And that's part of the mindset part. You know, is there's education, there's being well-rounded. Part of being well-rounded is really how do you move past your comfort zone? Because it's really a discomfort zone. It's a place right. where you don't want to explore, not you, but people don't want to explore because it's too uncomfortable.
Yeah, you want to hide from it.
Yeah, but it's really key if you want to grow. Sarah, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. You just got to keep pushing if you want to grow. I actually just found what I actually want to do when I go into college officially. I want to, essentially work with Photoshop and programs like that. I found my hidden passion there in my newspaper and journalism class, no less.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's going to make you well-rounded, too,
yeah.
though.
Yeah. That's a gift. Finding a passion is a gift.
Yeah.
It really is. And you found your passion, right, Sarah?
Yeah. I actually got my first job, and I'm really proud of it. It's an advertisement for a company. I don't know what company yet, but it's my first job. I'm getting paid $20 for this.
Oh, great.
Wow, that's sort of cool. But
for 10 minutes work, that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is very good.
Actually, now I'm just designing an advertisement. The first one I couldn't do.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere.
She's crying. Okay.
I'm not crying.
I know.
I pulled through, and it's amazing.
But you're smiling. Wow, can you believe we're at the end of the show already? So, Dr. John Douglas, thank you so much. I want to get you on again. I think this is fascinating.
Oh, thank you. I had a great time.
Absolutely. And Sarah Spean, thank
now you.
You
know where the studios are, so it'll be a little easier.
That's
right. Yeah, that's right. And Mitch will pick you up next time. Yeah. Okay. So
I'll see you in a few weeks, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And Sarah Spean, thank you for being on. You're both great examples, role models for people that really need to know there's something out there for them, and that's really cool. So, and Mitch, thank you, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. The next one is the SEA.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's coming up the fourth Tuesday from, I think, 2 to 3. Or is it 3 to 4?
3 to 4.
Okay. See, Mitch keeps me remembering everything. Anyway, stay tuned for the Green Roundtable. We have a special guest coming in, the multi-award-winning Australian architect, Sally Dominguez. She's going to be calling in at 3:30, and stay tuned for that.
This is Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.